Hello, and welcome to the DMV Business Show, a weekly show where we get to meet local business and community leaders in the DC, Maryland, and Virginia area. They get to impact their story and how they got there. You can expect to hear advice and learn about their journey and how they went from point A to point B. My name is Otto Sevilla, and I'm a commercial real estate advisor in the local DC, Maryland, and Northern Virginia area. I have been very fortunate to have worked with many amazing entrepreneurs and executives, from startup founders to international Fortune 500 companies. And one of the things I love about what I do is I get to form these great relationships with some interesting people. I get to know them and I learn about how it all started. And I love hearing a good business story. When I'm not working in commercial real estate, I just also happen to be the host of this show. So please enjoy and welcome to the DMV Business Show. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the DMV Business Show. I'm your host, Otto Sevilla, and today we have a very special guest, the CEO and co-founder of Zentilly, Ryan Push. Welcome to the show, Ryan.
Hi, thanks for having me, Otto.
Of course. Thank you for joining us today. If you can, before we go into your personal story, if you can just give our audience a brief general overview, who is, what is Zentilly? Zentilly, please.
Zentilly. Yeah, Zentilly is a it's a technology company. And first and foremost, we're building basically energy procurement software for our suppliers, our advisors, and our customers. So we have this sort of end-to-end system that we've been building for the last 5 years that makes the process of procuring energy, electricity, natural gas, and renewables more digital and more streamlined and more transparent using our technology.
Nice. Now going a little bit about you, are you originally from the DC, Maryland, Northern Virginia area?
Yes, I'm originally from Maryland, born and raised actually. Grew up in Harford County, was actually working in Baltimore for quite a while, and now I find myself in Annapolis, Maryland.
So, Maryland boy then.
Yes. Yep.
That's good. So growing up, and you said Harford County, right?
Yes.
Okay. What were you into as a child? What were your interests? Any sports or any specific school subjects or materials?
Sorry for the truck in the background doing this interview outside. Nice out there. I had some different activities growing up. I really enjoyed sports. I played a lot of sports with my friends in high school, middle school, kind of just like all around just competitive sort of person. I played a lot of sports, baseball, basketball.
Of course, there's a
dump truck as we talk, and like I found the quiet, I thought it was like the quietest spot where I could find some time here. So yeah, but okay, it looks like it's been gone now. So baseball, basketball, soccer, just did a lot of sports growing up, you know, that was basically revolved around my childhood essentially. Yeah. A lot of sports. Yeah.
And after high school, did you stay for college in Maryland, or where did you go to?
Yeah, so after high school, I went to a college in Virginia, Randolph-Macon, a small liberal arts school, and great time there. And actually, kind of while at school, got an internship to work at Constellation Energy, which is a company that I spent almost a decade at. And that was kind of what I did after graduating.
Okay. So that's how you sort of got into the energy business through the internship in college.
Yeah, exactly. My dad actually, growing up, he worked for the local utility, BGE, Baltimore Gas and Electric. So kind of had some ties into the utility industry growing up. But I kind of got my entree into energy through my internship at Constellation.
Well, what was your major in college?
Business. Okay. Business and minor in psychology, but just focused on just, you know, kind of the, here we go again.
This will be the last time, I think, I'm pretty sure. So just really didn't have any sort of, you know, I guess, focus major, if that makes sense. And it wasn't trying to be a lawyer or a doctor. So I really was just more interested in psychology and business. And that's what I ended up taking in college.
That's good. I was somewhat similar. I was about to major in business myself. I went to University of Maryland here in College Park, and I graduated from there. And I decided just to do economics, which is related. Mm-hmm. But it was no particular sort of niche or field, like accounting or engineering or anything like that. It was more of a general type of subject and career. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a good, thing when you don't have a focus sort of a major, like I think, as I mentioned, being a lawyer. My experience was more like kind of liberal arts. So I got to look in and learn about a number of different sort of topics and subjects. And I think that was interesting and helpful.
That's good. I mean, you definitely need psychology in everyday life and definitely in business.
Yes. I agree. Yeah.
So you get your foot in Constellation Energy through your college internship, and you said you end up being there for almost a decade of your career. What were you doing there at Constellation?
I was mostly basically focused on business development for the most part, and understanding how their Constellation was rolling out their different products and services for their businesses that they went after and in their market, and spent most of my time doing business development work and bringing products and services to market.
Okay. When I think of business development right now, I'm thinking obviously, you know, some type of sales and marketing and bringing in business and clients. Was it sort of like that?
Yeah, there was, there was pretty much, that was it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was bringing in clients and, you know, there's no silver bullet on how to do that, right? It was a lot of, kind of networking and, learning the industry and trying to be a sort of an energy expert and bringing that expertise to clients, which is what most of the customers were looking for. So I was learning and then bringing those learnings to market.
So I guess your day-to-day there was sort of communicating with the end consumer client, or was it with businesses or brokers or other advisors, consultants, or a combination?
All the above. Okay. I mean, I was there for a long time, so I got to sort of work and see kind of all of the above, right? So I worked directly with clients, I worked with brokers and consultants, I worked internally on, getting deals done. So it was kind of, a number of stakeholders that I dealt with on a day-to-day basis.
And these are all local as far as people you're working with?
Well, some of the businesses were local. Yeah, the mm-hmm. businesses were, kind of East Coast, mostly Pennsylvania and Maryland, and some DC, but that's what I focused on. But there were brokers and consultants and advisors that I was working with that had a national presence that were in, many different states like Texas or Illinois, New York, New Jersey. So I personally was more focused on kind of the East Coast, but I had partners that were national.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah.
So you're working in Constellation Energy, and then how does the idea or how does Centility come about?
Yeah, I mean, really, while I was at Constellation, I was learning the energy industry and meeting great people. I enjoyed that a lot, actually. But really, my passion was driven by software and technology and sort of this sort of friend group that I had been cultivating for probably, 5-6 years, before I even got to Constellation. And I really was more focused on building software with my friends like Craig, my co-founder now, and a few of his buddies and my friends. And We had actually a couple of startups that we had did before Zentility that we were working on while I was even at Constellation, kind of nights and weekends. There was like a group sharing site. There was a real estate thing. So, you know, all in all, I was passionate about software, learning about energy, and that was just brought together, you know, over time, really. And I approached my co-founder, Craig, about an idea that I had, and I thought it was interesting. It was in more of a, more of the B2B space than what we were focused on, which is more of the consumer B2C space within like an application or app software development. So we were building an app before, and we moved to sort of an enterprise view when I came to Craig with this idea. And yeah, it was just for my learnings at Constellation and also just being on the side doing software development is how it all came to be. So.
Got it. Right. You just mentioned you and some buddies and your co-founder, Craig, were trying different things before you sort of went full force, let's call it, with Zentility. I'm curious because, you know, out there you see a lot of these entrepreneurial stories where immediately from the beginning, they're successful. And you don't see many times entrepreneurs trying, dabbling on different things until they find that avenue, that road, and go full force with it. What was it that, I guess, trying all these other other businesses, let's say, with your friends, in the end, what was it that made you select and go with Zentility compared to the others you were trying prior?
Good question. I think a lot of it has to do with, or at least for me, was sort of understanding the subject at hand, sort of being a subject matter expert, bringing a problem that I saw kind of day to day or day in and day out at my job, Constellation, while I was there, and then trying to, you know, look at the other things that we were doing and trying to understand, is this a big enough problem? And when it came down to it, I just thought that Zentility was solving a big enough problem in a very niche space that nobody really kind of understood. And I thought it was a good opportunity. And it's not like the other ones weren't good ideas. It just wasn't, they weren't solving a big enough problem, I guess. And that's really kind of what it came down to, was solving a big enough problem. And that's why we went with Zentility and stuck with it for, you know, the last 5 years, basically.
Okay. So you and Craig are working on Zentility on nights, on weekends, while you're still at Constellation, right?
No. Actually, I left Constellation to kind of to pursue the idea, but also to continue to work and gain knowledge in some of the sectors that I was interested in, like real estate and efficiency, energy efficiency. So I moved over to another company. And then basically came to Craig with the idea and started Zentility, essentially.
Got it. Okay. So you basically still have your full-time job, your W-2, while at the same time having Zentility on the side.
Yeah. Okay. I did. It was nights and weekends, you know, thing. Craig and I were, it's kind of, we call it moonlighting, right? We did that for multiple years.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, because we loved building the technology, the software, the platform that we were building, and we really enjoyed, you know, working together on the problem. And that really fueled us for 2 or 3 years of just doing that while also working a day job. So,
I love that. You get different takes, because there are some people out there that say, burn the boats, leave, go for it. And sometimes it works and sometimes it does not work. And
right.
And it all depends. It's on a case by case basis, because every individual has our different points of their life, may have different responsibilities or not. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, some people can just bunk with their friends and sleep on the floor and just code all night or whatever it is, work on things.
Yeah.
Some people are at a different stage. What during that 2 to 3 year period while you were still, let's say, with the W-2 and working on nights and weekends moonlighting, was there a pivotal point there that made you and Craig decide, okay, I think this is it. We may be ready to sort of jump off the airplane and go 100% with Zentility?
Yeah, I think it came down to, you're right, it is all about timing, right? We had this idea, we were passionate about it, we were building the platform out of sheer just enjoyment, working with each other nights and weekends. You know, it's you know, to do this, you know, coming home after working a long day and then logging on and working until, you know, 1 or 2 in the morning, you know, and that stretches for, you know, years on end. You got to kind of be into it, right? But really what the jumping off part for us was when we over time started to find that product market fit. That's kind of that like saying that people say when they have something that, you know, when they have something that actually people want versus, you know, just a couple of their friends going, oh, this is a great idea. And like, you know, buying the product or service, it's more like, okay, you know, random, you know, businesses that we've never met before are now kind of calling us just through kind of word of mouth. And also not just that, but investors started to kind of take interest. I was actively working on trying to raise a little bit of money while moonlighting. So the combination of the product market fit and investors starting to be interested, and then obviously giving us money helped us take that leap and go at this full time.
That's great. During that two to three year period prior to you going 100% in Centility, were you guys having also customers, or was it just all during the building phase preparing for that?
Well, we had some customers.
Okay.
It was more geared like for our, we weren't, Craig and I, because we were such a small team, we weren't focused on hiring a sales team and, you know, hiring a marketing person and building the go-to-market strategy. And we were in the very beginning, you know, those two or three years we were doing this, we were more focused on, you know, the product, building it. And then when I had time or when we, you know, had some, you know, acquaintances or friends and family kind of introduced us to some people, we had time, we would pitch the product. Mm-hmm. And when we would pitch the product, some of our early customers were like, this is great. Like, I think this is a great idea. I would love to use it. I'm in. So we got it more through kind of word of mouth and friends and family in the beginning. And that's why it wasn't, you know, kind of a focal point to try to get profitable or try to get, you know, to a point where we can sustain our salaries the first couple of years. It was more building, taking it to market, iterating, learning, building, and then like kind of that cycle until we found something that actually was, again, actually interesting and useful for customer.
Yeah. You know, I really love that whole, let's call it side hustle. There are different, yeah, obviously, terms that, you know, you have your career, whatever it is you're doing, and you can try and dabble things on the side until you find that right fit. Hopefully you do find it one day. And I wish many people would pursue that if they want to do that, of course.
I mean, the side hustle is something that I think, to your point, it's exciting, right? Because it's like you're doing your own thing and like you're getting glimpses into kind of like, you know, running your own business and having that responsibility and getting customers and you know, all of that is such a appealing thing, you know, the side hustle. And it could be as big or as small as you want it to be too, which is really cool. I look at side hustles as also like a little bit of like lifestyle businesses too, where you can fit it within your lifestyle, right? It's like, it's a great thing. I think a lot of great successful companies that we know of today started probably with a side hustle to some degree.
You have to put the time and energy and effort into it because you were there sometimes till 2 or 3 in the morning, you were saying.
The side hustle, you got to be into it, passionate about what you're doing in order to like actually do that day in and day out. It's, you know, you can do it, you know, once a week, right? But if you're doing it every day, you know, 5-6 days a week, and then the weekend, like, you know, it gets a little bit harder than if you were just sort of like, oh yeah, I'm doing a side hustle and like, you know, I'm working, you know, 2 hours a month on it. You know what I mean? Yeah, which is great, by the way. It's fantastic if you're doing a side hustle and you're working just a few hours a month, because it's probably just, you know, perfectly placed with what you want to do with, you know, that lifestyle side hustle business. But I think Craig and I always had the hope, really, that we would turn it into something bigger. And it was such a kind of a big idea for us, at least in a market that we thought needed it, that we were always sort of pining for that, like, you know, only a niche, a little bit longer, we do this and, you know, we'll eventually get there. And, you know, it was that motivation that kept the motivation between us, the co-founder, my co-founder, Craig and I, it kept it going. You know, if it was just me and or just Craig, it might've been a lot harder to keep it going.
And sometimes it is important to having that partner to sort of motivate you when you have those down moments and you are like, oh, am I doing this? And you're second guessing yourself.
Yeah. I think, you know, cooler heads always prevail. You might have like a day like that, but if you're really into it and you really want it, I think you'll keep coming back to it. But the co-founders help because they do provide that kind of that like buddy system, that like motivational factor that helps a lot. Yeah.
Ryan, during that time when you guys are still moonlighting, are you, your personal situation, are you married? Do you have any other responsibilities, or how does that look?
Yeah. During that time, I'm married. I was having kids. I was actually building a house, renovating a house. During that stretch of time. I know, it was crazy. Like, you look back, you're like, how did I even survive? But it was fun, though. There was a lot going on, and it was really fun. There was never a dull moment during that time.
How did your wife take it? Because obviously, the other half is not even your business partner, but your other partner.
The real partner.
Yeah.
the real partner. Yeah. She took it incredibly well. I mean, we're still married, which is an amazing feat when you have all those things going on. She took it well. She really also, I met Kelsey, my wife, actually at Constellation Energy, and she understood the idea and understood that it was a cool idea and it could end up working. So she was very supportive. And I think the aspect of her knowing about it, understanding it, helped with the help with the stress that comes along with building a house, having a kid, starting a company, and all that goes along with it.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think just having the right partner is probably, if not the most, but one of the most important decisions you can make in life.
It could easily make or break any idea or any vision that you have for whatever it might be, right? Mm-hmm. In this case, we're talking about business because it's a business show. But I mean, if you don't have the right partner and they're not supportive, you have to choose, because they are both two very big, to successfully keep a marriage is work, to keep a marriage going is work, but to successfully keep a business going is work too. So if you don't have the right partner that's into that, then it could go south pretty quickly. Yeah. But luckily I did.
Yeah.
At least for now, Otto. At least for now.
I'm sure it's fine. During that time too, also, Ryan, while you're working your W-2, I know you're no longer a Constellation, but was at that moment your current employer, were they aware? Were they open? Did they not care? Because I hear, like, when I'm talking to other business owners, Some do know, some don't, some care, so it all varies.
I never really brought up like my side passions to anybody. Mm-hmm. When I was working with, it was more just established, like when I was there, I just wanted to, you know, build friendships and you know, build a, you know, kind of a great relationship with the people that I was working with and trying to, you know, help the business grow. Constellation's business grow, and did everything I possibly could to do that. But it never really kind of dove into any of my other kind of side, you know, like side hustles or anything that I was doing on the software side. No, so it never really came up.
Okay, got it. So I guess the Centility was sort of on stealth mode, that I wasn't out in the public and you there and Craig and promoting it. It was more just building and creating state. Okay.
Yeah, just very much building and creating state. It was just more the creative side of Craig and I, you know, and just sort of, you know, no promotion, no sales, no marketing, no nothing. Mm-hmm. Even during the very, very early days, we just hired our first sales team like 90 days ago. So it's been like that for quite a while.
Yeah. So you become, you said this was two, 3 years you're doing it. Then you go full time. How is it that first year, just you and Craig working on the business full time?
Oh, it was so fun. I mean, it was just great that we didn't have to spend nights and weekends and like, you know, those late nights, like just that alone was like, oh, so much better. But it was great, but also, you know, challenging too, because you're, it's now kind of real, right? It's like, you know, you gotta, there's new challenges that pop up, every day. But, like when you're first starting and you're first going full time, it's a lot easier to get through and exhilarating, you know, for the first like 6 months. And then, like, you know, it's just back to the same kind of like, okay, this is my job. This is what we got to do. We got to make this happen. We got to grow it faster and hire people. And, you know, all those things, you know, put you back in the place after you get through like the honeymoon phase of starting, you know, going full time. Right. Which is very, very exciting. But for Craig and I, it was fine. I mean, Craig's super great, really, really intelligent guy, and has been involved in different businesses in his past career. And you know, I think that we work well together. So it wasn't a huge shock when we did go full time. It was actually more fun and exhilarating than not have to go spend those nights and weekends anymore.
How soon afterwards did you guys hire your first team member?
That's a good question. I can't recall. Probably a couple of data people almost immediately.
Okay.
And another developer. So, I mean, it was almost immediately. Got it. For 30 days. Yeah.
And by then, Ryan, you already had, I guess, funding, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah. So we already had funding, some initial traction funding, and we were just now getting ready to hire more people when that all happened.
Now your team looks much different. You were just saying recently you hired your first salesperson. So how does your team look like now?
So the team is still heavily dev and data, development and data people. So super small sales team still, but all in all, the company is about 20 people, roughly 20, 22, right around there. But I would say, you know, 70% is dev and data. Mm-hmm. At this point. We're hoping to change that and grow the sales and account management and marketing team this year and next year to get up to where dev and data is.
That's great. So now it's time to build the sales and marketing side of things.
Yes, now is the time. Yep.
What would you say drives and motivates you?
Building a great team. Honestly, that really does drive and motivate me, is to try to get really smart people to come and join us and to solve this problem that we're trying to solve. That's what motivates me most. So really hiring great people and building a great team culture is number one on my list right now.
We were just talking about sort of that startup phase of the ramp-up phase of Centility. What advice would you give someone, Ryan, if they came to you, tech-related, non-tech-related business, and they wanted just to, you know, open their business, hang up the shingle, do their startup? Any pointers?
I think you have to have sort of a passion and some sort of competitive advantage, whether you're a subject matter expert or you're a really good chef, or your whatever it could be that you're looking to, you know, to do as to start a business. I think, you know, using your superpower, whatever that may be, and really accentuating that, and then being very passionate about what you're doing to get you through, you know, the inevitable tough times that come with starting anything. So, you know, those are some pointers that I would give people.
So Centility now, your customer base, is it, again, the end consumer? I know it's a business-to-business, obviously, platform. Mm-hmm. But is it the end consumer? Is it the companies? Is it the consultant, brokers, the advisors?
Yeah, so we focus on building tools. So we have a platform that we've built, and then we build tools for our users. So we have suppliers that use our platform. We have advisors, consultants, brokers, advisors, other energy-related companies, utility bill pay companies, ESG companies, consultants, so on and so forth. They're a silo or a grouping of users. And then we have the end use, like customer, right? We have the business owner or the person that's paying the bills. We have tools and solutions for them. So basically we attack all three, and we are focused on continuing to build, you know, more tools that continue to help our users.
Right now, currently, are most of the users sort of that broker consultant, or is it the end user?
Right now, yes, it's going to be more heavily weighted towards the broker, the consultant, the advisor. That's going to be the vast majority of the people that are actually using our interface and our technology on a daily basis. Yeah.
Okay. So if you could just walk us through how it works. So let's say I'm the broker, right? So I'm the broker and I'm representing XYZ business and they want to buy energy, correct? Mm-hmm. So I log into Centility, the platform, which I'm sure I paid some type of fee for, correct?
No. It's free to log on and use. It's like a freemium model.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So when do either broker then start paying? Never? I'm sure there has to be a point.
Well, the broker, the advisor, the consultant's logging on and maybe has to, what we call, run a rate check for electricity or natural gas or renewables through the platform to basically ping and get access to the supplier marketplace where all the suppliers are to supply that advisor or broker the products that they need or the service that they need. So we get paid and the broker gets paid when a transaction happens. So we have this digital, basically like checkout tool. We call it a rate check report that's it's an interface that allows the end user, the business owner, let's say it's a restaurant owner, or maybe somebody that owns a property management company or what have you, that's responsible for paying the utility bills. They would meet with their advisor or consultant or broker that's using our technology, and then they would basically purchase or procure the energy using our interface. And then once that happens, the transaction has taken place, we then are paid by the supplier, the group who won the business, and we then facilitate those payments to the advisor, consultant, or broker who is using the platform. So we take care of all the payments, the processing, and the monitoring all those payments as well after the transaction happens for the advisor or the consultant. So free to use. But when somebody does buy energy through the platform, we can pay.
Okay, interesting. So, for example, let's say if it's something local, and I have five, eight restaurants in Howard County, in and around Columbia, the different parts, right, in Maryland. I get a broker. Do I get a broker or no, typically, in that scenario?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I get a broker, then the broker logs into Centility. They log in free, and then they say, okay, this restaurant, 5-8 change, wants electricity. I don't know, right? And then they give you all these different companies that I guess they bid or they offer you their service and different payments and plans. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then the broker then presents it to the client, the restaurant owner, they go, they select it. And then once they execute something through you, then that's when everyone gets paid.
Yes. Okay. We make the process very organized and streamlined for all parties. So it's not overwhelming. And there's a lot of sort of analysis and suggestions that our software will actually make, our technology will make to based on where the market is and based on, you know, the best pricing, the term, how that compares to what their local utility is offering them, how that compares to, so it just, it breaks down and analyzes and provides suggestions without the advisor, the broker, having to do anything. Obviously, the broker and advisor can then provide their own analysis and take their own, you know, kind of position on where the market is. Because keep in mind, I know it's a commodity purchase, right? So the electricity and natural gas markets are always changing, and the prices are always moving. It's like buying a stock, right? So, you know, from that standpoint, our technology helps to streamline the analysis and the pricing from the suppliers. And then the advisor is still building that relationship with that customer, the trusted advisor, you know, giving them, you know, their take and their spin. Because a lot of the, you know, the people you just mentioned, the restaurant, as you know, in your example, many business owners, whether it's a restaurant owner or it's someone that's responsible for, you know, 50 commercial buildings, their knowledge on when to buy and what to buy from a commodities, electricity, natural gas standpoint, it's still limited. And that's why the broker and the advisors are still very, very important to the transaction. So, you know, it takes care of a lot of the work, but the broker is still there to, you know, kind of help get the deal closed and get the transaction won, essentially.
That's great. Ryan, are you noticing that the end consumer, whether it's they're going directly to the platform or through the broker, is it more sort of that local business owner, or is it more landlords with multiple commercial properties or property management companies, let's say?
It's the latter. I mean, that's we see a lot more of the commercial landlord, owner, operator, you know, asset manager type, right? Using the technology or engaged with our platform. And then we also have a lot of our advisors and consultants and brokers that will have, you know, a standalone pizza shop as a customer of theirs, or, you know, a small, you know, grocery store as a customer of theirs, right? So our users and our personas are all over the map because we have so many different use cases for who would use it. But we do see a lot of the larger customers or larger landlords and owners in real estate use this because it's such a large bill that they have to pay. It's a top expense, and they try to get their hands wrapped around that as best they can.
Yeah. You know, I work in commercial real estate, as you know, and I work a lot with landlords in the area and also business owners, tenants. And what they do, what I'm seeing, obviously I'm not in the asset management and property management side of things, which typically handles, or the accounting department handles the utility bills, but they're saying, okay, this property in Annapolis or Edgewater or Severna Park, whatever, and it's BG&E, and a new pizza shop comes in, contact BG&E, here's the welcome package, here's all utility companies, set everything up, all the best, good luck, there you go. And even let's say if the asset is not a shopping center or industrial property and it's an office building, let's say, then it's only one utility bill. It's not separate units. Then the landlord then obviously is typically what I've seen is BG&E, and then that's it. Not many. And I guess, and this is not institutional. I'm not talking about here Blackstone or, you know, these REITs. These are more just local mom and pop landlords, maybe have an asset, maybe have a portfolio of 10 to 50 properties, let's call it. I don't know many that use a broker or even just a platform like you have. And same thing on the tenant. The tenant side is even worse because they're even smaller.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. So if you're looking at, like, a lot of the times, if you look at a BGE bill or a Pepco bill, for example, the suppliers are still on the bill. They're just controlling the generation portion, not the distribution portion. So it still all comes on that BGE bill most of the time, right? And we see that a lot of the landlords and ownership and asset management companies and property management companies out there, a lot of their common area and a lot of their commercial or industrial load, when I say a lot, I'm talking like over 70%, and just to be conservative, over 70% are shopping, have some sort of contract in place with a supplier that gives them budget certainty or that gives them the, you know, flexibility to manage their price. Just by kind of face value, looking at the bill, you're not probably recognizing, you're just saying, oh, well, BGE is just still there. But in actuality, I bet you if you looked a little closer, there would be a supplier probably actually there on the bill, on the utility bill.
Okay. So the supplier would not be BGE. It would be XYZ, right?
Exactly.
On BGE bill.
Yes.
Okay. That's interesting. So if I'm a landlord, what do you advise them then? If they're not, you know, they're just used to paying this bill, what should they do?
Well, they should use Intility. In all seriousness, like we really, the landlord should be managing the price of power. They should be, or they should have some broker helping them do that. Just to sort of say, look, I'm just going to go with my local utility because that's what I know, that's what I trust. That's fine, but you're not able to really manage your costs, your price down, or budget well for it if you just have to, you know, take whatever the utility is providing at that time. But I think when it comes to energy procurement and the tools that we build, we focus on trying to help people manage this cost. It's a cost management tool. There's analytics that are built in to help them understand when to buy, if they should go back to the utility for a few months, and just different ways to budget and to plan and to monitor the market. Because if you do that, you will end up doing better from a cost perspective than if you just sort of, again, buried your head in the sand and said, whatever the utility is providing, I'm going to take. So that's what I suggest. I suggest, you know, any of the people that are not currently managing their power to do so either with an advisor, broker, consultant, or obviously come into Zentility and check out some of our tools.
So let's say this landlord then goes to Zentility and say, oh, or is their bill now going to come if they end up selecting someone else? Is it going to come now through BGE with a different supplier on it, or would it be just a totally different bill with a different company?
No, it would be through BGE with a different supplier on it. Everything stays the same. They just pay their bill, and then, you know, and it's all very seamless when it comes to the billing side of things. In some states outside of Maryland and in some utilities, they do require two bills. They require a supplier bill and a utility bill. Distribution comes from the utility bill and the supplier will provide the generation portion. But that's fairly easy to kind of navigate from the customer side, especially if you have someone or something like our tool helping to kind of guide you, help you understand, you know, where you're going to get two bills now. It's going to be one from this customer or this supplier, one from this utility. But I would say that's few and far between. Most of the states that are out there do offer single billing, which allows the utility to bill both the supplier generation portion as well as their distribution portion of the bill. It's gotten a lot better over the last, you know, 15 years or so. From a deregulation of electricity and natural gas and choice perspective, the billing has gotten better, but there's always improvements to be made, but right now the billing is pretty good.
Sure. From a cost perspective, you're noticing that also your user is saving money. I assume that's why they're coming into the platform, right? As far as they're used to be paying They used to pay X dollars per month for energy. Now they're hopefully at a much lower rate.
It depends. It really it depends on when their last contract is coming up for renewal and what the market looks like at that point in time. But yes, it is a cost-cutting effort to, you know, shop who supplies power to your, you know, portfolio of buildings or building. But it's also, again, going back to cost management, it's also more of a management as well. I mean, you're not always going to quote unquote save, right? Like you're not going to go from paying 6 cents per kilowatt hour one day and then, you know, a couple of years later it's $0, right? Like, you know, so the market does move and I think it's more of a management side, but yes, there is an aspect of savings because when you go out and you're having suppliers compete for your business or for your building's load, your the usage, and you're also possibly buying at a better time, which is, you know, important, there could be substantial savings. I mean, for some of our customers that spend a lot of money on their electricity and natural gas bills, I mean, we're saving them in the millions of dollars range. You know, again, large customers, but still substantial opportunity to reduce costs.
Okay. You were just mentioning earlier too, Ryan, as far as different states and different regulations. So right now, as far as how many states can come into the platform and utilize it?
So there are roughly about 12 states that offer electricity choice for businesses. And then if you include natural gas, that opens up right around like 25 or so. So not obviously, you know, the United States doesn't, or every state in the U.S. doesn't allow for electricity natural gas or electricity choice. But most of the East Coast is offers choice for electricity. And then Texas is that really big state that offers electricity choice, which is what we focus on.
Okay. All right. Great.
Yeah.
Are there any specific habits or traits that you feel have helped you day to day, whether it's on business side of things or personal?
I'd say habits. I do find that working out in the morning or trying to get away for a workout kind of midday to break it up a little bit is a good habit. It helps to clear my mind. I'm not sure if it works for everybody. And I know that not everybody can just, you know, do that. I know the timing is not always in our favor when we're trying to get to the gym or go for a run, but I have found that's a good habit for me. And then trying to get up early and do some like just very kind of quick kind of meditation, just like very easy. Those are two habits that has helped to, you know, deal with some of the stresses that come along with owning a business or trying to, you know, grow any sort of product or service that you're out there, you know, trying to grow.
Yeah. For the meditation, I'm curious, do you use an app or just by yourself?
I have an app, Calm. I have that downloaded.
Okay.
And I did use it for a while for like some of the guided stuff because I didn't know what I was doing at first and I didn't really want to go and do a retreat or do anything, you know, substantial like that. So I did use it at first and then sort of the guided stuff just kind of helped me got to a little bit of a routine and I don't really go back to it. I kind of just do my own thing that works quickly and then kind of helps to reset the morning and then I go.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I tried
app,
it myself.
Yeah, the app was good. Calm was good. There's a number of them out there now. Calm was a good way to kind of get a good starter course, so to speak, to meditation.
So. I tried it. I think I used a Headspace. That's what used.
Another one. Yeah.
That's another one. But yeah, that's good. You know, with entrepreneurship, there's a lot of ups and downs most of the time. Can you recollect the down and I guess how you maneuvered it?
Greg and I originally built the product Zentility to go after direct businesses, go directly to the businesses and try to disrupt, you know, buzzword, disrupt the traditional broker, consultant, advisor model. And that was the original idea. And we went to market, we built all these great tools and these interfaces and all that great stuff. But then, you know, over the course of time, realized that we have to pivot because the advisor, broker, consultant, and that sort of industry is very influential and very important to the transaction. So that was a hard, I mean, in, you know, as I explain it now, in hindsight, it's like, okay, you know, that was the right move, but it was a very difficult, very kind of gut check moment for us because that wasn't the idea. It was very hard and to navigate through that. And that was a big down, if you know, from what we're talking about. That was a downer because there was a pivot and there was we were focusing on something completely, literally completely different than what we had set out to do. We were actually setting out to disrupt the broker, and then we ended up pivoting to give them tools to be better, right? So that was a pretty big moment, pretty down. We made the right decision to stick with that and pivot, but it did not happen lightly. And there was a lot of late nights and arguing. So, yeah.
But I'm sure once you implemented that change and you sort of opened your platform up more to the broker, to the consultant advisor, then you started also seeing the change on the numbers and the users and everything else, right? With the upticks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely, because they were more engaged and they were more interested in what we were doing. The customer, the end user customer, liked what we were doing, but it's one of 500 things they have to do. It's not like they're, you know, they're doing this as a part of their job, so to speak. I mean, it is a part of their job, but you know what I mean. They're not really focused on it as a part of their day to day. So it did start to quickly show that we made the right decision. I'm glad we did. Yeah, it was a good decision.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
What would you say is your biggest challenge with your role in Zentility today?
I would say hiring great people, because the labor market is such an interesting point right now. The biggest challenge would be to find and attain great people. That's you know my biggest challenge today.
How are you finding those great people?
Well, we use our network. We have great investors and great board members, and again, keep in mind we're a really small team still. So all this changes over time as you get to different levels of a business. But right now, we're using our network. And we've hired a very good top-notch recruiting firm. Those are the two ways that we're finding people. But once you find, obviously, the person that will take the interview, you have to convince them, obviously, to come join you. So, you know, having a great product, having a big market and a big problem to solve, all those types of things matter too. So, you know, not just getting the person, but convincing the person that this is the right move is a challenge. It's hard.
Sure.
Especially when you have a lot of people out there that have so many options nowadays because of this, you know, what do they call it? The Great Reset or whatever the saying was. I mean, there's such a huge migration of talent in different markets. It's, you know, it's been, for me being a newbie at it first time, I found it fascinating. I'm like, I can't believe it's this hard to, you know, find great people. You would think it would be easier, but it's just not. So, yeah.
I understand you're actively hiring right now. Are you looking at just local talent, or are you, because now with, you know, I know companies are also with the, you know, working remotely, you can just work anywhere. So are you focusing local, or are you open to different areas?
Open to different areas. Yeah. We're really open to different areas and finding the best candidate versus, I mean, don't get me wrong. It'd be great if they were local and the best candidate. We're trying to default to the best candidate and then trying to work around where they live basically right now.
Okay, I understand. That's great. What do you know now that you wish you would have known at the start of your career?
Well, I really I think jumping in sooner would have been, I think jumping in sooner versus moonlighting all those years was one lesson learned that if I had to go back and change it, I probably would have jumped in sooner, because there is something to say for jumping in and really, you got no lifeline. It's it. And what that helps you as a business owner do, I think helps drive the business faster to success versus it being a great idea, a great team, but the moonlighting just slows the whole momentum down, right? So I would say jumping in sooner would be, you know, but again, hindsight's 20/20. You know, it, at the time it didn't make sense. But if I were to tell myself, if I could go back and say, you know, what would you do? Or what could you have done better? I would, of course, jump in sooner. So.
But from what I understand too, as far as the timeline, Ryan, when you were moonlighting, I mean, you're married, you have young children. So would that even have been possible for you as far as jumping in anything, sooner? Or?
Anything's possible. I mean, it's just, you know, you got to be, you got to be willing to, you know, go through some of those sacrifices, like you were just saying. And at the time, it didn't make sense. But going back, I would have tried to convince myself to do it sooner rather than later. Yeah. So.
Yeah. No, it's true. Anything is possible. It would just be an additional risk. But hey, like you said, do it sooner rather than later.
Yeah. And keep in mind, I mean, you know, I'm still relatively young. I know, you know, 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, you know, I was younger. So I think that, you know, that plays into it too, right? Like, you know, where you are in your career, where you are you willing to go through, you know, the ups and downs that are inevitable, you're going to go through them when you start a business or even a side hustle too. It doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I do think anybody can start a business at any age, but I think the younger you start, the more risk you can take, right? And, you know, it would have been a lot better, you know, or a lot easier if the kids were, you know, my kids and you know, kind of what I was building in the early days and not jumping in full time, would have been probably easier with the kids being a little bit older, I would think, right? But then you're, you know, further along and you're more established, and then you have, you know, more risk, so to speak. So, you know, it's an interesting thing to think about, like when to actually start the business, right? And for me, I would have tried to jump in sooner. That would be my one kind of take back. So, yeah.
Oh, I love that. Have you had any mentors throughout your career? And if so, who were they and what did you learn from them?
Yeah, I had a mentor. He actually tragically passed away during this journey of Zentility. And he was someone who he really gave Craig and I our first shot. He was the first kind of money in company. I knew him beforehand, before he invested in Zentility, and he was an entrepreneur himself. His name is Joe Patanella. He built a company called Trustwave and just, you know, did very well with that company, grew it to something, you know, they had hundreds of employees, and just someone that I could learn a lot from because he did it and went through all of those ups and downs like we were talking about earlier. So from a mentorship perspective, he really was able to give me a lot of insider information and insight that I wouldn't have been able to attain, you know, outside of just trial and error myself. Mm-hmm. So it was very helpful to have him, because he was sort of always in my corner, you know, just continuing to egg me on and keep it going, basically.
So. That's great. Coming to an end here now, what does the future hold for you and Centilli? What does the next couple of years look like?
We are very excited about the industry we're in. We really do find that the energy industry as a whole, although we are operating in one silo or one, you know, kind of division of the energy industry, because it's such a big industry, right? We're excited about the transition that's happening in that space and a lot of the conversations that are going on with renewables. We're very excited about that. We're also excited about continuing to build our tool, our product, and our platform and our digital tools for our users, our consultants and advisors and energy companies and brokers and end use customers. And, you know, we think that there's a big opportunity to help transition in some of these new initiatives that are happening in energy, right? I think energy procurement is really a focal point in a lot of that, because there's a lot of different products and services that are popping up, and we want to help really streamline and help businesses make the right choice with those products and services that they're going to be buying for their building when it comes to energy. So, you know, pretty big idea and big vision for where we want to take this thing. And we feel like we're kind of day one, right? For the next, couple of years, we're going to continue to focus on building a great product and hiring great people. That's going to be the goal.
Awesome. When you're not busy working, Ryan, what do you like to do for fun in your free time?
I like to, it's funny, like recently, like I started to work on the weekend. I started to work in my yard, which I like never have done in my entire life. So like that's been bringing me some joy, funny enough. So working in my yard, running, trying to, obviously still, get workouts in, and really just enjoying time that I have with my two boys and my wife, my family. That's pretty much it.
It's interesting you mentioned the yard. I've heard from other people how working in the yard is sort of almost meditative for them. It's just more like they're calm and they're just doing the yard work and their garden.
It does. It brings you a sense of like, purpose throughout the day. You're like, you're doing something, and you're using, your hands and you're breaking your back, so to speak, right? Mm-hmm. It could just go, it could be anything really. There is a sense of accomplishment when you do get your hands dirty, work hard and, have a goal and accomplish that goal, even if it's as simple as yard work. And I think that mental aspect of it really does help, to your point, it gives you a similar meditative state. Mm-hmm. And then, I just never thought that I would be saying that. Like, it's like, man, I love doing yard work. Cause like, I was never that guy.
Yeah.
I was always like, can we just get somebody to come out and like, cut the yard? I know somebody that might do it for a good price. And it was always that, now it's like, I can't wait to get out there on Saturday and break the beds and plant this thing and plant that thing. It's pretty funny how that transition happens when you get older.
Are you listening to something? Do you have your earbuds in, or are you just without anything, just you in the yard?
Just me in the yard. Okay. And I just the sounds around me.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Where can people find out more about you and Centilli, Ryan, if they want to reach out and get more information?
You can go to Zentility.com. You can find us on all the socials. You can find us on LinkedIn. We have a decent presence there. We're growing our brand. But Zentility.com, and come check us out. We have a number of cool new products and services that we're launching this year. So for anybody that's interested, come to our website and see that stuff.
Great. Ryan, thank you so much for coming on today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. I really appreciate it too. Thanks so much for having me.
Take care.
Yeah, bye.
If you haven't done so already, please make sure to subscribe to the show and leave a review and comment and let me know what you think. Thank you, and I'll see you all very soon on the next episode.